How many of y'all were here last week when we had this Zechariah guy? You know, if he'd been less worried about people's cars and more worried about the scripture, he wouldn't have left part of the story out, and now I got to come in for him. If I had his email, I would let him know. Maybe I'll send it to Barry and ask him to forward it for me. If you look in your Bibles in Luke chapter 1, you see the story of Zechariah having the annunciation of the birth of John the Baptist. And then the story skipped over the annunciation to Mary. And then the visit of Mary to Elizabeth, two pregnant women. You talk about some potential for trouble, but I think everything came out all right. I think it's kind of interesting as we go in this story, if you look in the four Gospels, you'll find that not all of them even tell the birth of Christ. Mark and John don't cover it, but every one of them talk about, in the beginning, in their first chapters, John the Baptist. And it's pretty clear as you read the beginning of Jesus' ministry that John the Baptist he's kind of like a rock star. In fact, I'm guessing he looked kind of like some of these rock stars. You know, the ones that get up there in leather pants and no shirt. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah, you know, because he lived out in the wild. He lived rough, eating locust and wild honey. Now, I want you to think a little bit about wild honey. How do you get wild honey? You people that have hives, you got stuff to wear and you go out and pull the honey out. I guess you just go in and get it and you're a pretty tough customer. And I think John the Baptist was a pretty tough customer. But this is the story about John the Baptist. He was an Old Testament kind of guy, even though his story is in the New Testament. In fact, Jesus, you know, will later make a statement. He says, you know, John the Baptist, no one is greater than him except anyone in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so John the Baptist is tied. He's the extension of Elijah. Jesus makes it clear that he's the fulfillment of Malachi, the last of the written prophets. Okay, Malachi's prophecy that Elijah would come again. The people understood this, that they couldn't have the Messiah till Elijah came again. In fact, that went all the way into Jesus' death on the cross when he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. They said, some people misunderstood and they thought he was calling for Elijah. So this is John the Baptist. I can only imagine him as being a strong, wild man. Okay. But this is before this. This is about his birth and about the visit of two kinswomen. Now, what Zechariah left out while he was worrying about other people's cars is Gabriel comes to Mary. Okay. About the same time that he came to Zechariah, about 6 months later, actually, and announces to one of these works and one doesn't. Just it hit me one there, okay? And announces the birth, okay? And we find now that this story centers around two women who have gotten miraculously pregnant. Okay? Now, Mary gets miraculously pregnant by the virgin birth. Okay? Elizabeth is a little bit different. Okay? She is barren. She's in her older age and hasn't had any children. And the announcement you'll remember from last week, the announcement is that you will conceive. Okay? And this is an Old Testament motif that we see over and over again. Here, and Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. This is Rachel. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together, the two twins in the womb. I'm hitting everything I got here. Am I turned on? Maybe I'm not turned. Go ahead. All right, go ahead. Next one. Sarah, the mother of Isaac. You remember that? Born in her 90th year. Rebecca, we just read about, Isaac's wife, the mother of Esau and Jacob. Go ahead. Okay. You got it. What was I doing wrong? Samson's mother, she's not named, only called Manoah's wife. Hannah. Hannah's namesake. Where's Hannah over there? I hope she's not listening. Okay. One of the most beautiful stories in the Bible, the mother of Samuel. Okay, who came and promised her child to the Lord if he would just give her a child. It was a big thing back then. Even the Shunammite woman that Elijah stayed with. You remember they got the oil and they continued, but the real miracle was she was barren. And he says, as he left, you'll have a son. And this is something that's over and over in the Old Testament. And it's today. Okay. People struggle with this. One of the interesting things about it is that people that don't struggle with it don't understand how big a thing it is. And to not be able to have children, to not have children. In the Old Testament, it was even bigger, because not only did you have all those things that we understand, but they had this strong need to have a clan, to have a family. And so this is the story of Elizabeth. Okay, you'll remember. Old, hasn't had a child. The child is brought by a promise. Okay. And that tells us something about John the Baptist. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. Now, did you notice here that it doesn't say Zechariah will rejoice at his birth? You know why? Couldn't talk. It was not until they named him that he was actually able to talk. Okay. And this brings us to our story. Okay, this brings us to our story. And in those days, chapter 1 and verse 39, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a town in Judea. And so by this time, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, and we assume that Mary is in the early stages of her pregnancy. Okay. And she entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And she didn't greet Zechariah. Why? He couldn't talk. No use talking to a guy that can't talk back to you. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is an interesting thought. One of the prophecies about John the Baptist was that he will have the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Okay. And this seems to have bled over. No, that's not the right term. Elizabeth seems to have partaken in this promise. The child within her body has the Holy Spirit, and she has the Holy Spirit. And remember, this is in the days before Pentecost, before the Spirit has been poured out onto all flesh. In the Old Testament, just certain people, prophets. Even you remember Saul gets caught up in it one time, and he prophesied, but not most of his life. Okay, and this is what happens, and she is filled with the Holy Spirit. And does anybody know she's also filled with this 6-month-old baby? And the baby does what? Leaps in her tomb, and she says to herself, "This is not just a regular kicking." Okay, this baby recognizes something, and what does the baby recognize? That Mary is here. And then Mary is pregnant with Jesus. And isn't this an interesting illustration of these women? Okay, it is only at the beginning of Jesus' life and at the end of his life that the women have this priority in the story. And I guess you would say they're around at the important times. Okay, they're around at the important times. And here are these two women, kinswoman. We don't understand exactly what their relationship is, although Elizabeth is older than Mary. Mary may be as young as 15, and Elizabeth could be 55. We just don't know. Okay, so it could be quite a lot, but they're kinswoman. We don't understand exactly how, because Mary was of the tribe of Judah and Elizabeth was of the tribe of Levi. But they're kinswoman, and they obviously have a relationship. And in fact, Mary has... I got a map for you here. Has gone all the way up here in Nazareth. I'm pointing at the wrong thing here. All the way in Nazareth, down all the way here into the hill country of Judea. We don't know exactly where they lived, okay? And so she's taken quite a trip on her own to go visit with her kinswoman to be there. And certainly she would have heard that she was pregnant. This would have been a big thing, okay? A big thing. And also, we can imagine that Mary is a little perplexed with life. It's a time, now you remember, even when Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem, they're not married in the sense that we think, but they're still betrothed, okay? So she's not a married woman yet, okay? And we know in the other stories that for a while that Joseph, when he found out she was pregnant, he was going to put her away, but he was a just man. He was going to do it privately, try to minimize the shame. We don't know where this fits in that story. We would think it would be after that, and the angel tells Joseph not to do it. But you can imagine a young woman, 16, in this situation. She's been visited by an angel. It's not just any angel. It's Gabriel, who is evidently the biggest, toughest angel there is. And she, you remember what she says? I'll do what you say. Okay. Wasn't what Zechariah said. By the way, it wasn't what Abraham or Sarah said in these same situations. So we got to give him a little bit of slack there. But you can imagine that she says, I need to be with somebody. Okay. I just need to be with somebody. Plus, my kinswoman needs somebody. Okay. I need somebody. Let's see. Now I'm completely out of my slides, so let me go back here. All righty. I know we covered that. Okay. And in those days, Mary rose and went in haste to the hill country, to a town of Judea. That in haste kind of tells us that something's going on here. Okay? Something is going on that she needs to be with her kinswoman, and enters. And then Elizabeth, when she feels the baby kick, says this, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears," so Mary, when you greeted me, probably some kind of a formal greeting coming into their house, "the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and as blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And we'll ask ourselves real quickly, who's Elizabeth talking about, herself or Mary? Because both of them are living out a fulfillment of a promise spoken to them by an angel of the Lord. Well, actually, the angel spoke to Zechariah, but he assumed he told Elizabeth. He's the husband. Maybe he didn't. Yeah, he was kind of weird, wasn't he? So I don't know if we can trust him. So she's probably talking here about Mary. And then we come to realize that here's the situation. I don't know how far apart they are. I guess maybe they're kind of hugging. And this knowledge from one fetus to another and one pregnant woman to another goes, and the knowledge is the gospel story. The knowledge is the Christmas story about to happen some months later. The knowledge is, you remember we talk about prophecy, many times prophecy talks about future actions as if they have already taken place because they are so sure, because they have been prophesied and the Lord's promises are so sure. This seems to be what is happening here. And so here we have this beautiful story of these two women who come together. And by the way, Mary stays there for 3 months. Do your math. It sounds like she was probably there around John the Baptist's birth. If that's true, I wish Zechariah had told us last week. Y'all have to get on this guy. He's leaving us high and dry a few places. Okay. So we have this beautiful story, but we also have this beautiful illustration of the old and the new. The old woman, the younger woman. The Old Testament prophet, who will be the forerunner of Christ, okay, the new Messiah, which will come. And so they meet together and they spend time together. And we can imagine what they talked about. I take that back. I can't imagine what we can talk about. All you women can imagine what they talked about. What did they talk about? Come on. Somebody help me out here. I mean, I'm going to guess and y'all are just going to tell me I'm wrong. What's that? All right. What else? Got to be a little angel talk, don't you think? Got to be, I'm not sure what this Messiah thing is going to be, and got to be this, if we're not sure what this Messiah thing is going to be, what's this forerunner thing going to be? Don't know really where we're going, but we do know one thing. God's leading us there, and we're part of this plan in a very, very, very big way. You don't have a mother. You don't exist. Okay. Now, I got to get out of this lesson for a little while. All you kids out there, I have been talking to you. Get your mother's Christmas gift. Okay?
Never.
Have you got it already?
No.
If you don't have any money, make her something. You can blow your dad off, but get your mother a Christmas gift. All right, I'm getting back in here. All right. Okay. Where was I? Okay. Motherhood is integral to the gospel story. The motherhood of Mary is integral to the gospel story. It doesn't happen. We don't get God with us. We don't get Emmanuel without a mother. Okay? He's not going to be some alien that just kind of beams me down, Scotty. Okay? That's not the way it's going to take place. It's not the way it's been foretold in the Old Testament, and it's not the way it's going to go in the New Testament. Okay. And then we get this beautiful psalm, I guess we would call it, which Mary, it says that she's now full of the Spirit. I take from that, when the angel said that you will, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will conceive and bear a son, okay? I take from that, from this, Mary's ability to say these things, that it was more than just conception. Okay? That she had part of the message within her. You know, John will begin talking about Jesus and John the Baptist also. In the beginning was the Word. The message is inside Mary. And I've also talked about the fact that all of us believe that Jesus was born of a virgin by faith. Everybody who believed that in Mary's time believed it by faith, except for Mary. She knew it to be a fact, didn't she? She didn't need faith. She knew it. But isn't it interesting that Elizabeth, you know, one foot in the Old Testament, Elizabeth gets a little bit more than faith, gets a little kick, gets a little connection, gets a little realization through the Holy Spirit that, yeah, this story is true. And young lady, you're not in trouble, which is what we would say today, isn't it? Unmarried and pregnant. I guess we don't say that anymore. We say that in the church. You're in trouble. That's not the statement. You're not in trouble. You're blessed. And now we begin to open up the new covenant. We begin to see the opening of the New Testament. We begin to see the opening of Christmas. And as we got about a week and a half here, nearly 2 weeks to Christmas, and I think John is going to give us a Christmas lesson next week, and I know that the kiddos are going to have a Christmas program for us next week. We begin to see this opening, not in the Old Testament of barrenness, not in the Old Testament motif of a barren woman being given a child of promise. A child of promise, certainly, but in a better way. Not a woman who could not conceive having her womb opened, but a woman who has a virgin having a child from God. So that Jesus is not the son of Joseph, as he is termed in reality. He's the son of God, but he is the son of Mary. And now we run out of ways to understand it, don't we? We don't know what this is like. But all we can kind of do as we approach this story is kind of get that kick. We know maybe what Elizabeth knew. Did she understand it? I don't think so. Did they talk about the angels and the prophecies? Yeah, I think so. Come on, you. They must have talked about how good-looking Gabriel was. Don't you know that he was a hunk? Come on. I mean, he's the guy with the trumpet. You women are not helping me out here at all. I'm in over my head and you're just letting me stew. And so Mary says this great Magnificat is what we've called it, this great psalm which we'll end with. It's very similar, by the way, to a psalm given by Hannah. Okay, you go back into 1 Samuel and you'll read that when she got her child, okay, she was so happy. And in a real way, it's a psalm not understanding the true nature of Christ, because it's a psalm based in Judaism. And we can imagine that with Mary. She was an upright Jewish woman. And she understood her son to be the consolation of Israel, just like Anna the prophetess will be when Jesus is born. And we can understand, not fully understanding everything about it, why later on she thinks maybe he's gone a little bit off the deep end and comes to get him. Okay. And we can understand her sorrow at the foot of the cross. Did Mary know that her son's life was going to the cross? Jesus knew. But did Mary know? I don't know. But we don't really find that in this, so I would say maybe not. Okay. A young woman filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with a child, filled with the promise that she was part of what her people needed, and she says this. So let's begin our Christmas celebrations with this. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is as mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation.